Blog Talk Radio.
Remarks or comments, we will welcome them.
again, so my honored guest is Mrs. Janet Picone Hexon. And without any further delay, she's been hanging out in the virtual green room with me. We were chatting and just getting familiarized again. We had some dynamic conversation last week leading up to this broadcast. And she is just a phenomenal woman, a beautiful wife, and an amazing mother. I want to just go ahead and welcome guest number 6, 6429, 7492, 7506, 7565, and 13711. I welcome all of you to the show. Well, without any further delay, my honored guest, the reigning queen of the Mrs. Asia, USA, Mrs. Janet Picone Hexon. Welcome to the A New Day show. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much, Dr. Daphne. It's an honor for me to be here.
And hello
to my mother.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you. I hope your mom is hearing, because she put out the most beautiful babies. I tell you, when beauty were being distributed, you got extra portion. And I'm not talking about only on the inside, because in this week leading up to the show, and we were on the phone for over an hour, and you are indeed a beautiful woman from the inside out. It is such a blessing, an honor, and a privilege for me to know you, Janet.
Thank you so much, Daphne. It's an honor for me too. You know, I'm grateful for my parents about, you know, how they brought me up and,
yes,
you know, how I,
yes,
grow up. Yes.
Yes. And for your dear husband and your two children, I want to tell them thanks for sharing you with the rest of the world. The first thing I want to ask you to set the pace for my listeners, I want you, Janet, to just tell us about your humble beginnings growing up as a child in the Philippines.
Yes, I'll be happy to share for that. I'm originally from the Philippines in the city of Davao. It's a region of Mindanao, and I grew up, I really have a very lucky, you know, my family, and my mother is a businesswoman, my father is a politician. I grew up in a politician family, and, you know, I'm very fortunate that, I'm a Catholic, and I brought as a Catholic, and I'm very humble and very lucky about my parents, and I grew up with maids as well, so I was really like a lucky kid, and my parents had 7 siblings, but all of us went to school and went to college, and I go to Catholic school, and I also, at the age of 19, I was elected as a youth counselor in Davao City. And what it is, it's like we help children to stay away from drugs and focus on sports and education. So more on that, I'm pretty much really involved, you know, during those, you know, during when I was young. So
I have a big smile on my face when you said you grew up with maids and everything. And I'm thinking, she was always a princess who was waiting for her crown. And although you didn't get the crown as a Miss, the title of Mrs. didn't stop you from wearing your crown. So
No. Actually, they could always, like, they think I'm a Miss, and I always get the, you know, I always correct that Mrs.
Mrs. Because I'm looking. I look on all your pictures. I must tell my listeners this, that when I was posting the blog post about you, And I looked on your profile picture, and I said, oh, man, oh, my Lord. Then I went on YouTube, and I look on all the pictures. I said, oh, Lord, which one do I choose? And the Spirit said to me, oh, why not put the whole link so everybody see? And I know people are thinking, a Mrs. look that beautiful? They're looking at you and think you're a teenager, you know.
Thank you. So I heard that a lot, too. So.
Yes. It's just amazing, you know. And you mentioned that it's not just now that you're involved in making a difference. Even growing up, you were elected to official office in your town to help other children. So you grew up in a family who taught you that it was important to touch other people's lives. So I think when the Mrs. US, Asia USA chose you as the queen, I know that there were other contestants who were deserving, but God knows that you had already paved the way, and you are so deserving of wearing that crown, and you wear it well. So on behalf of America and the rest of the world, I want to officially say congratulations for being the reigning queen of the Mrs. Asia USA.
Thank you so much. Yes, it's an honor for me, and you know, and behind that winning, you know, there's a lot of experience for that too. You know, behind that crown and behind that title, I have so many experience to get that, and you know, and it's not only like I said, I'm very strong, strong woman, and I have strong faith and believe in myself and the choices that I made.
And we're going to go to some of those, because you made choices, but as the listeners will come to understand, you were faced with adversities as well, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to go back and speak with you about attending Catholic school. What was it like for you?
It was fun, actually. It was fun. I mean, it's very strict. You know, you have to follow the rules. And I remember when I was high school, like every changing of our subject, like we usually pray, you know. And I was like, why we keep praying? We keep praying, you know. Is God really hear us this, you know? So every time we see a sister, and you know, we have to greet, good morning, sister, or good morning, father, you know. So every Wednesday, like, you do your, you have a novena mass. So it's more about God. And you know what? I am so grateful for those, that my parents, you know, give us an opportunity to go to the school for that, because we learned a lot by our faith in ourselves, and also, you know, to other concerns, to other people as well.
You know, Janet, I years ago, I heard a joke. I don't remember from whom. But it's a joke about the Catholic school and a young man who was in public school. And the teachers in the public school and his parents and other community leaders knew that he had the ability to learn and to do better. But he was not doing and working up to his potential. So they decided that they were going to put him in a Catholic school because of the strictness there, and the classrooms are smaller. So they got him in the Catholic school. And the story goes that the first day he came back, he was up in his room doing his homework, and everybody was puzzled because this young man was not accustomed to do homework. As a matter of fact, he always say he never had any homework. And then he was diligently doing his work without anybody had to tell him. They had to call him down for a snack. They had to call him down for dinner. So time for the marking period came, and his report card came in, and he got an A+.
Wow.
The first marking period. And everybody was puzzled, you know. So his parents asked him, you know, this is amazing. Since you start going to the Catholic school, nobody had to encourage you to do your homework. Now the first marking period and you got an A plus.
Yes.
What brought this on? And he said, from the first day that you all took me to that school and I saw that boy that they nailed to the plus sign, I know that they weren't making any jokes. So.
Oh, my God. Because the discipline, I mean, the way they teach you and the way they discipline you, they really want you to be the best of the best. And
Janet, I don't think you got a joke. What happened? You know how they have the Jesus on the cross?
Yeah.
He didn't look on it as it's Jesus on the cross. He thought it was one of the students who couldn't do the math. And they nailed him to the plus sign. So that's our joke for today.
For the Catholic student. We got in trouble too. We got in trouble when I was in second year, because we have a teacher. He told us in order to shorten the good morning sister, you have to say monster. the nun. Hear us, and he said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Good morning, sister." And I said, "No, I did not hear that." And I said, "Good morning, sister." But you know,
kids are going to be kids. You know, kids are going to be kids, and all of us have a child in us. And every now and then, we need to laugh a little bit and to just enjoy life. So that was my only joke for the year. So, you grew up Catholic, you are still a devoted Catholic, and when you were in the Philippines, what kind of a career did you pursue?
Well, it's funny because I did went to school to be a dentist, because all of my family, you know, my father's side, either they're dentists or lawyers or, you know, so there's two fields that they always go. And I said, I choose to be a dentist. And my mom said, all right, you just have to be, you know, focused on that. That's what you want. Because my parents, like, whatever you want to, you know, that's what you want to be, then we're supporting you.
Right.
So, you know, I was not really like thinking about, okay, I'm going to serious in college, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's so many things I want to do. And then so I did, I have 3 years in dentistry. And then, you know, and so my mom said, Mom, I don't want to be taking this dental school anymore. So I'm going to shift to another course. Mm-hmm. So I took for hotel restaurant management. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like tired of it. And so my mom said, okay, you know what? That's enough. You know, you're collecting uniforms and IDs. And, you know, so you're not really focusing in school. That's what they, you know, because I have so many friends in Davao. I mean, you know, I like to have friends and I have more. And sometimes I said, you know, I need to go some school that I don't know anything. And then I asked my mother and she said, okay, choose. And like, okay, go to Cebu, which is, it's a really, you know, it's known for a good dentistry school. For medical school. And then I kept thinking, I don't want to go there because I'm just wasting my mother's money. You know, I feel bad, you know. I said, I don't know what I want. And said, I never really work. I mean, you know, and I never experienced that. And, you know, I mean, grow up with, it's a privileged life for me. And, you know, I'm always grateful for that. Those are the experiences sometimes I love and sometimes I share to my kids.
And although, Janet, although you weren't working for a paycheck per se, but you were working because you were touching lives in different communities that you go, because, you know, in speaking with you, I realized that you have a heart for others. You know, whatever you can do to impact and to touch other people's lives, you go after that. So, you know, a lot of time, the reason that God creates us and brought us into this world is not always to work for a paycheck, but it's to operate in that calling that He created us for. And, you know, people talk about angels and they talk about miracles. And as we go about our daily task, the people that we encounter in our lives, they are the angels who will bring about God's miracle to us. So, and I truly feel that you are one of those people.
Oh, thank you. Yes, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, when I was a kid, my parents we own restaurants, and I've seen a lot of kids that, you know, you see them very hungry, and, you know, like, I remember at the end of the night, like, sometimes my parents will throw all these foods, and, you know, I've seen kids that they know me, that I will tell our, you know, people that work with us, I said, you know, don't throw those, because, you know, who's going to eat those? So I said, pack it and wrap, and then give it to the kids there that they're in line to give those food. At the end, they will thank to me. You know, they're like, thank you. But I was only like 11 years old then. You know, I always have a heart for those, you know, unfortunate people. And,
right. So let us fast forward.
Yes.
United States of America, what brought you here to this amazing country?
Well, America is a land of opportunity, and it's the powerful nation of all the world, you know. And I came here. I met a guy, and I met a guy. He's from here. He's from United States, and you know, for me it was like taking a chance. Like I want to go to U.S., so I got married with him. You know, I was the impression that it will change my life, you know, and it will change my life, you know, give me a lot of opportunity. And what I think then is like, you know, if I will be successful in this country, I can help more in my people. So that's what my thinking, you know. And so I came here. I was 22 years old. I was very young. I don't know anything. I just, you know, I have family lives here, but, you know, they're quite far. And so when I came here, I was in the plane, and I was thinking, I left my parents, you know. I remember when I, like, back for that, they took me to the international airport in Manila. And my father said, you don't need to do this. You have a better life. And I said, Dad,
Papa,
I need to. Yes.
Dad,
I said,
didn't
I
know
to.
Well.
Yes. And I said, Dad, I need to, Dad. I said, you know, America is a great country, and, you know, I'm going to have a good future there. And my mom was crying, and my dad, and I always, like, feel bad for my father crying. I love both of them, you know. And he said, you can change your mind now. And I said, don't stop me. I'm going to get mad. Don't stop me. I'm going to get mad. And that's so when I left, you know, as I approached to the international airport and waiting for my flight, I was really thinking, do I really need to do this? Leaving my parents. I was young. I was innocent. I don't know anything in that country, you know. So it's like, I will leave my family and my friends just for this and just, you know. But I think I did it. It is my choice, and I had to live by my choice. And I choose to be what I think. That's right. I came here, and I met my fiancé that time. So I'm from Indiana. And after 3 weeks being in States, I was involved in a car accident. And I was involved in a really bad accident, you know. It flipped our car 3 times in there. And you know, I think it's by my faith when I was on the air, you know, circling. I mean, I was circling inside the car. And I was praying, I believe in God, you know. When it touched down, that's what the end of my prayer. And then I kind of like passed out, you know. And so my thinking, even though my eyes was closed, I was thinking, am I really going to die right now? What about my parents? Why I didn't listen to my dad? All those questions, you know. And I said, And I was imagining, my God, when, you know, my parents is going to see me in the airport and I'm in the coffin, you know.
Mm.
I don't want to see that. And then so there is this lady. She was, you know, she touched my hand. She has very cold hand. I did not see her. And she said, do you want me to pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, please. And when she prayed for me, after she done, I passed out. When I woke up, I was in the hospital. And my husband, at the time, during that accident, he walked away. You know, he's not damaged. I was the one who's damaged, really. He's not any scratch on him. So I stay in the hospital for 3 days. And at first, like, first time that I, you know, like, I think it was the first night or the second night. And I saw, I said, well, can you please, I told my husband then, I said, can you open the door, you know, the window? And then he said, the window is open. And I seen all black. I thought I was blind. I said, oh, my God, I'm blind. So he called the doctor, and then, you know, they checked me. And, you know, I always pray, always, like, you know, God, please, you know, it's like my faith with me, like, I don't want to hurt my parents. You know, I always think about my parents. I don't want to hurt my parents, my family. And so with that one, when my ex-husband told my parents, they were crying, and, you know, is she all right? And they thought that, you know, my ex-husband insured me, you know, for money. And they were like, we're going to do anything, you know, to, if ever my daughter is dead, we're going to do everything, you know. So
to get back at him.
Yes, and then after I got off from the hospital, I was fine, and then I called my mom, and my dad was crying, and she said, I told you, you know, come home with us. Please come home. I said, no, Dad, you know, I belong here now, and, you know, I belong here. And I stand up for that, what I thought, you know.
Was right for you.
Yes, what right for me, my decision. I stand for that. And so after like 3 months, I think, I got pregnant. I got pregnant. And I knew it was a boy. I knew it was a boy. And I was so happy, you know. I was 22 years old. I was so happy. And I said, you are the best gift for me. And this is the one I'm always dreaming, to have a family. And, you know, to have a supporting husband. And, you know, and like, I'm going to teach him everything that what my parents taught me. And so then, you know, things that that's not happened right, you know, and my ex-husband, he was not what I thought, you know, like my, you know, I always said, like, my father is the best father and the best husband in the world. And he wasn't stand for his family, you know, he doesn't work, he's watching TV all the time, and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know what, for what I believe my father always said, well, you know, the mother should be the light of the house. And the father should be the foundation and the protector, and, you know, for the, you know, for the family. You know, that should be the provider for the family. And I always think that, because that's how I brought up. And I always taught him, you know, as we are a newlywed, we can help each other, you know, to have a good life. Working is harder. To really, like, find it what we want, and to give a good future for our kids.
So,
and he doesn't believe it, though. He doesn't, like,
I want to ask you a question. When you met him in the Philippines, okay, you met him in the Philippines, and then you fell in love, got married, and came here, and all of that. Did he tell you he worked a job, or what did he tell you?
He was telling me that he was the president of his company.
So he and told you he was a business owner.
Yes, he was a he was a businessman. And, you know, for me, money was not like, oh, you know. And for me, I do believe for, like, working together as a couple, and then whatever you suggest, it's you, both of you, you know.
Right.
That's what it is. When I came here, he doesn't work, you know. It's totally, totally different, you know. And
How long did you know him before you actually became his wife?
I think I know him for like 6 months, I think.
So it wasn't like just 2 weeks and everything. But you grew up, and, you know, with your religious belief and everything, you trusted him and believe what he said. And you took his word for that. And
yes.
You came here, you had the accident, and what happened after that accident? You got pregnant and you had your baby, and what happened? What happened?
Well, it's not only that I got pregnant, but I end up owing in the hospital for like $22,000, and he has the insurance money. He kept it for himself. He did not pay to the
uh-huh.
hospital. So
no.
I end up like I don't know anything about the rules for being a
right.
bankrupt or something like that. Because, you know,
right.
for me back in home, I don't have to worry about bills. I don't
right.
have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So his lawyer and him, you know, told me I have to file bankruptcy. So it's not only that, it's ruined my
mm-hmm.
filing bankruptcy. And then
mm-hmm.
so after I have my son, that was 2000, after 4 months, I got pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pregnant, and he told me to get an, he did ask me, like, he said, let's have an abortion for that. And I said, no. And they said, well, let's have an abortion because we can't afford to have another baby. Because, of course, he's not working. I'm not working. We're depending on his mother, you know.
Mm.
And I said, no, it's against my will. But he said, no, we have to get an abortion. So we did. I was crying because it's against my belief. I don't believe in abortion. So it was against in my belief. And I was, I did suffer for that until now, you know, kind of like going always back. But, And I always told him, you know, you have to find a job, you know, find a job. We're going to survive. And, you know, not only that, I mean, his mother always, I don't have a privacy in my home because she will always tell me, you owe us the money because we rent one of his rentals, poor rentals. So she will say, you owe us the money, every penny, you know, it's mine. And, you know, she said, she was like, I feed you guys. And sometimes I will, you know, kind of like express it to her. And I said, you know, my parents are not rich, but my father always find a way that make it sure that his family are well fed. And, you know, God had good house, you know, good home for the kids, you know. She said, well, she's always like, she doesn't like me, you know, she doesn't like me. And she said that. I remember when she first saw me, she says, oh, she's so dark. And I was thinking, what do you think? You know, I'm Asian, you know. I'm not blue-eyed, you know. I'm not white. I'm Asian. Of course I'm going to be dark. So that's what she first time. Yeah, the first time she saw me, said like, hi, welcome. You know, she said, she's so dark, you know. But
her family was Caucasian?
Husband.
Oh, so you know when he came to the Philippines, he knew what your family did. He knew they had business and that your father was a politician and all of that.
Yes, he knew. He knew that, and I did even I helped him a lot. You know, I helped him to open a business over there and helping here, and I did told him like, you know, when you. We start a business together. Like we hired nurses, you know, to bring nurses over here. And then I told them, I said, okay, I want to help you. And part of that for the profit that the company will make, let's help for the children in my country. You know, it's 10% for that should go there, you know, because I want to help back, you know, to contribute back. And he said, yes. And so what he did is like using my name, using, you know, people in the Philippines, and he ended up owing my parents $18,000, and he ended up like asking investors money over like $250,000, and, you know, people are trusting him because he's using the Filipino.
Your father's name,
Yes, and so... Then when I learned, when I thought about it, and you know, this is not good, you know, I don't want to live in a dishonesty, you know.
Right.
I want to live like something that it's honest, even though it's small, but it's honest, has a good reputation to it. I did told him, I said, you know, you better stop that. If you're going to make a commitment with these people, do it. It's not about saying it. It's your word, it's your integrity for this one. I don't want to do in the bad thing, you know.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, and in living with him, oh my gosh, you know, I kind of like, I basically was the father in the house. You know, my first job was in 2001, and I work in JCPenney, and first time that I applied there, and then I asked, you know, I got an interview. They said, "Do you know this one?" I said, "Yes," even though I don't know the currency, because he did not taught me, you know. And they said,
"Wow."
"Yes, I know that." Yes. So I said, "Okay, well, go in the training." So I have 1 hour training, and after an hour, they put me on the floor. I don't know nothing. But for me, I was just always pray, you know, God lead me.
Yeah, and eager to learn.
Yes, and I said, teach me, Lord, you know, to be able to learn these things. And I know with your guidelines, you know, when you guide me, I know that I'm going to get into that. And so, you know, I did learn fast, and after three months, I was number one in our store, and after like 8 months, I was number three in the district.
Wonderful.
So, yeah,
wonderful.
I did well. And then I took another second job, you know, and I took another job, and you know, it was, but I've been through the situation, like sometimes I said, I can't take this anymore. I want to go home, you know, where I belong.
Right. I was going to ask you, all during this process where it's just you alone working in that house, not only to support you, your child, your husband, but you, as your mother-in-law as well. You are the sole provider in that home. Were you letting your parents back in the Philippines know what was going on?
No, not really. Sometimes I told them I kind of like don't like it here, you know. And so my parents and I say, well, you know, you choose that, you're always welcome to come home, you know, come home. But I think because of what I believe, you know, it's going to get better.
Yes.
And I always tell this to my ex-husband before. I said, you know what I know is I always apply these things in my life. The footprints in the sun, you know.
Yes.
And I'm where before when I was in college, you know, when I was in college, I was young and I, you know, grew up in Davao City. I saw two footprints in the sun, and that was me and God. And then later on, I only see one. And I said, not because he left me. I think he wants me to learn about life.
Right, and that was the time when he picked you up.
Yes, and he guided me.
Yes.
And I cried a lot. I see my son sometimes. I said, what I'm going to do? You know, I want to give up, but I said no. Because my son, at the time, he was a baby. He's the one who gave me strength. He gave me strength and hope that I can do it. And, you know, I mean, they are my ex-husband's family. I mean, I don't put hatred with them, but I pray for them, you know. Like, they will tell me, like, you should pay for the rent, you know. His mothers will tell me, you know, said like, why? For me, it's like, why would I have to pay, you know? And and then she will tell me like, you know, you should find another job. We're gonna kick you and your kids, you and your son, and you know,
and
you
it's their grandchild.
It's her son as well, you know. So I did, you know, working so hard, you know, working hard and like coming home and like, okay, what I'm going to do? It's very depressing, very depressing. It's like in the dark life. But my father always said, you know, at the end of the tunnel, there's a light. And I always prayed for that.
Yes,
and I said, you know, God, you know, always like guide me. You know, that I am always going to be strong. As I, the strong, you know, that my faith with you is stronger than ever, you know. And I sometimes say, if this is not enough, that if this trial is not enough, it's not satisfied you, give me more.
Right.
You know, give me
more.
See how can I, you know, how strong I am. But every day I am thankful. I'm thankful for my son. I'm thankful for my life. I'm thankful for the life I have.
You know,
and
I I oftentimes say that all the struggles that we encounter in life helps to mold us into the person that we are.
Yes.
Because what they say, the things that do not kill you makes you stronger. And this is what adversity does for all of us. Because I'm sure the crown that you are wearing this the 2010 year, you have empowered yourself to that crown, and which we will get to later on in our conversation. But what I want to ask you now, during that time of abuse, not only from the husband, but the mother and all of that, how and when did you begin to see light at the end of the tunnel? How did that come about?
It was later. It was like just 3 years ago, really. No, I thought 2 years ago. I did start. I mean, the hardship that I have is from I came here till 2007, 2008, like that. But I did ask my parents, that was 2004, I think. I said, I want to get divorced. And I'm gonna divorce my husband. And my parents always, no, you get married, you stay married, we don't believe in divorce. That's what they always said. I said, Mom, I'm not happy, I don't believe in abuse. And, and they said, no, they will say, you have to work together. And I said, how could I work together if one person is not willing to work with you, not willing to be with you, So those years, I kind of planned it, what I'm going to do, how can I do it, the choices I want to do, and the choices that I'm going to stand for. And so all those years, all hardship, but I smiled to that hardship. I'm thankful for those, because that's what I learned, And I oh my gosh, I worked two jobs. I went to school, and, I went to school. I worked in the factory. It's so hard, working from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock. You don't see your kids, And so in 2008, it was like, I think it was in 2004. I got pregnant for my daughter, and I knew it was a girl. She was a blessing to me. And then my ex-husband. Then we were in the clinic with my son, and then the doctor said, "Well, congratulations, you're 4 or 6 weeks pregnant." And then he said, "How?" And I said, "How?" And then so it was like, oh my God, and then, I said, I'm going to have this child born in my country. So I was, I have a difficult pregnancy with my daughter, I was sick all the time, but, I keep talking to her, you're going to be strong, girl, and things like that. She was totally blessed to me, and both of my kids are totally blessing to me. They are my strength. And so come to that, all those hardship I have and crying and tears that I've been through. And I was approaching 30 years old, and I told my mom, I'm going to die. I was so scared. I said, I'm going to die. And my mom said, what? And I said, I think I'm going to die. In my mind, I'm thinking, all right, well, how are you going to plan my funeral?
Janet, let's back up a little bit. Before this thought of death began to enter your mind, did you already give birth to your daughter, or you were pregnant?
Oh, I already, when I started planning to get divorced, I was, I was not pregnant. I just only have a son.
No, but when you went to the clinic with your son and the doctor said to you, congratulations, you were 6 weeks pregnant, and your husband then said, how? And you ask him how. What happened after that? Because at that time you were still living as man and wife. So
yes,
for him,
yeah,
for him to asked the question how that was not a very smart question to ask.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, wow, I said, of course we were, you know, I said, we slept together, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And then he said, oh, and I said, what do you think, you know? And mm-hmm. then so he was thinking like, you know, that I would not get pregnant again. You know, and it's so stupid. And I said, you know, because I think what he's thinking is might we have an abortion again. And I would not, you know, and I would not. I would not have any abortion again. I did make my mistake and I did, you know, follow what he said. And, you know, so yeah, it was like really like stupidity thing. And then he even said that, no, I did not ask. I said, come on, you know, in front of the doctor, you said how. I mean, I'm very faithful to you as a wife, and I'm, you know, I respect our marriage, and, you know, I would not do anything, you know, but, yeah.
So, that happened, you decide you're not having an abortion, so you went back home as man and wife. What was his treatment like to you during that pregnancy, the one with your daughter?
Well, you know, he was kind of like there for me, you know, but he's not working, you know. He was he's still not working, you know. Sometimes, oh, my God, sometimes I even forgot, like, if I can rewind it again, how I have with my son, you know. If before, I was afraid to have that experience again when I have my son because, let's say, back, you know, if I can back again for the 2000 when I have my son, you know, he has a jaundice, you know, the doctor told me that I should not take him home, he should spend the day, and for me, I would not believe that because I want to have my son, if he go home, he goes home with me, so I spend one day in the hospital. My husband then, he's not there, and I was very hungry. You know how you are, how you feel that when you, after having a baby, you don't have
you
any
feel like
strength.
you could eat a whole cow, people say.
Yes,
that's
yes,
how hungry you are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then he wasn't there, and I was very hungry, and I, you know, I walked through the nursing station, and when I walked there, I asked a glass of water, and I said, can you give me a glass of water, because I was very hungry. I don't have my husband with me. And then he gave me a glass of water. And before that, I pray for that water will give me more strength.
Wow.
And, you know, and that I will be able to be with my son. And then, you know, and it was really...
So, Danette, let me ask you, do you now feel, on hindsight and as we have this conversation today, do you feel that if you were not that spiritual or religious, if you did not have your faith to hang on to, do you think you would really survive what was going on with you?
I don't think so. I don't think I will survive because I'll probably, you know, very depressed and, you know, probably totally mentally really going crazy, you know. I don't know. I don't know. I could not see myself for that.
Yes, but, yes. So did you go back to the Philippines to give birth to your daughter?
Yes, I did, yes.
And when you told him you were going to do that, what was his response?
He said, why having there? And I said, because I remember for what you said, that if, you know, I remember what you said, that how I get pregnant, you know, you questioned that. And then I said, I'm going to have my daughter be born in the Philippines. Because, you know, and I was really mad, you know, I was very mad. And I said, well, if that's the case, then I would not. She doesn't have a father, you know. So that was my thinking. But
yes,
he's respect for what I said, you know, for what I asked him. That I'm gonna have my daughter in the Philippines because I don't want to experience what I experienced before during having my son. I said then and if I will be have my daughter in the Philippines, my mom and my dad will be there. My family will be there, and I know that I will taken care of. I know will, you know, they will feed me good, you know.
Right.
And I know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Because and they had already told you that you are welcome home anytime. There was a kind of an open invitation that said, baby, you want to come home? Come home. You know, and there's no place like home, you know?
Yes, it's true. It's true.
So,
and even though my brother offered me many times, he always said, you don't need to suffer there. I'll send you money for plane ticket. You and, you know, you and your son, come home over here. This is where you belong. You
belong.
Know?
That's what family, that's what family and unconditional love is all about.
Yes.
This is all about. I want to go to somebody while you get a sip of water and to ask if she have any questions. I think this caller is calling from Florida. Caller, your first three digits are 914. Do you have any questions? You could state your name and where you're calling from and your questions or remarks, please. No question. I guess she probably doesn't have any questions. And then we're going to ask the people in the chat room. We have to keep checking them. If they have any questions, to type it in the chat room and to let me know. So we want to fast forward where you gave birth to your daughter. And you gave birth to your daughter in the Philippines, and then you came back to the United States. How old was the baby?
Oh, she was about 4 months. She was about 4 months. I was not really want to bring her here, you know, because then I was planning to, you know, get my son, you know, get divorced and things like that. But I think at that time, I still believe that there's a chance for us to work together as a husband and wife, you know. And I gave him a lot of chances, you know, despite of those things that, you know, he's not working. He watched TV all the time, every day. This guy can watch 24 hours, you know.
Wow.
And,
wow.
And watch something, you know. That it's like every time he, you know, every morning when he woke up, I will ask him, how are you doing, you know? And he will say, I'm tired.
Because he watches TV all night.
And I said, how could you be tired instead of embracing, what a great day, what a great morning. I'm thankful I'm alive, you know? And so I was like, you know, sometimes I remember what my mom said, if the sunrise, if the sun is up before you, you don't have any future.
Wow, that's a good one. I've never heard.
You need to get up before the sunrise, you know?
So you thought about getting your son. Now you have two babies, not just one. And you're thinking of getting a divorce.
Yes.
What happened? When you had that conversation with him, what happened?
When I asked him, I said, like, this is not going to work. I didn't ask you. I told him, I said, it's not going to work anymore. There's no love. There's no trust. And, you know, there's no respect anymore. Those three things are the most important thing in our marriage, you know. It's a circle of marriage. Those are not going to work. So I want to get divorced. I've been helping you. You know, I've been trying to be there with you. But, you know, in spite of your mom, you know, how she is with me, she doesn't respect me as a human being, you know. And I said, I could not live like that. Or if you want, let's get out of here. I said, let's find a place. Even though I work another two jobs, as long as we're going to work and find a home for us. Because for me, this is not a home, you know. It's very depressing. And he said, no, we're not. Said, if you're going to divorce me, you're going to end up in jail, and then they're going to send you back to the Philippines, and then you're not going to see your son. And sometimes he will say, if you're going to divorce me, you're going to be in death, homeless, you know, a homeless.
Wow, talk about manipulating. Wow.
Yes, and, mm-hmm. and then I said that, you know what? Because I said, I'm never going to be homeless because as long as I know how to write and read and talk to them and I know what I stand and I know my rights, nobody mm-hmm. can step on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he always like, you know, I remember one time I told him, I said, you know, he's been really abusive towards my son. And mm-hmm. I told him, I'm going to call 911. And then he said, mm-hmm. if you're going to call 911, they're going to take you. They're going to put you in jail. And mm-hmm. I said, how could they put me in jail? I mean, you're the one who did this. And I said, no. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh. So I was scared. I was so scared when
wow.
I told him to.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Wow. I want to take a minute to remind people that they can call in 646-915. 646-915-8166. You can call in. I am in conversation with Mrs. Asia USA, Janet Picone Hickson. So let us hear from you. Call in and thank you guys in the chat room. You can type a question if you have it and you do not want to call in. But we love to hear you on the phone. So call in if you have something to say. So he manipulated you. He abused you. He abused your son.
Yes.
And you went and you filed for divorce?
I did. I did file 2007, you know, I was 30 years old. I think that was the life, you know, mm-hmm. that my life started. And then
mm-hmm.
when I did filed, I left, and his mother at the time, because they were my daughter and my ex-husband was in the Philippines. They were staying with my parents, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I said that, you know, I want to have my daughter, but I could not stand living in this, like, you know, miserable life anymore.
Right, right.
So I took my son with me, and mm-hmm. I only have $56 in my name,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know any, you know, I don't know anywhere to go. And
mm-hmm.
and then I said, well, whatever is going to happen, you know, I know that God's going to guide me. And
mm-hmm.
that's what
mm-hmm.
it did. And what they did too, they called, they threatened me a lot, you know, they're going to put me in jail. And then
you mean
they,
the mother-in-law and, this, and
the mother-in-law,
your husband?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law, he said that she's going to call the police and I'm going to be in jail by kidnapping my son. And, you know, and I said, you know, I don't believe this. You know, I was crying. I don't know what to do. I mean, I only have a clothes in my car and my son with me. And my son was like, Mommy, where are we going? You know?
Mm. How
and
old
I
was
said,
he then?
I think he was 7 years old then. I think he was seven, yeah. And I said, well, we're going to survive. Let's find a way. And I was on my way
wow.
to Chicago.
Right.
And then somebody called me and said that, they were looking for you, you know, there is like an FBI or NBI, somebody's looking for
mm-hmm.
you. They said they kidnapped your son. So I did not go to Chicago. And I said, I called my aunt, and my aunt said, come over here and stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I stayed with her. She, you know, they're very, really nice and welcome me.
Mm-hmm.
And the time I was working, I told my husband that, you know, give me Lindsay and, you know, my daughter. And
mm-hmm.
he said, no, give me my son because,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to deport you by doing this,
oh,
by
Jesus.
Leaving me. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, once I have the kids, you're he's saying a bad word, like,
mm-hmm.
your thing is going to be
mm-hmm.
in the Philippines. I said, no,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
why I was applying a citizenship.
Right,
so
you weren't, he wasn't fooling you anymore because you're an intelligent woman and you were learning what the laws were by then, so they were treating you as if they thought you were illiterate.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and then so I did what I did just because I'm thinking, you know, my kids are going to be with me and what I'm going to do. I don't have any job. I don't have any money at all, you know. So I did agree. We have an agreement, like a provisional order, temporary custody for him. And I did agree that in the sense that I think that time I was thinking my kids will be better, both of them together. I don't want them to separate.
And they'll have shelter. They'll have a roof over their heads.
Yes, rather than with me that I don't have anything.
The car.
And I have, and I have a plan for like, I'm going to do my life, you know. I'm going to straight this for 5 years. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to work, get my degree, and then get my kids back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing those things, you know, every time I want to see my kids, my mother-in-law called police on me to put me in jail. I mean, they always want to put me in jail so bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then one time, I mean, my ex-sister-in-law, she was a teacher, and my ex-husband wrote a letter to the congressman in Indiana that they should revoke my citizenship because I was under investigation for prostitution, aiding and evading money. I was a drug addict and things like that. And, and then I was crying when I saw that letter, and I was like, what is this, you know? And I said, oh, my gosh, you know. So I was, like, really, I was, like, I feel so down. Like, I feel like I don't have a life anymore.
Wow.
You know, like, what I'm going to do. But if I will stop, then I will lose. I have to keep fighting, you know, because the price that I'm aiming is my kids, you know.
Right, so, right. That's your goal. Look forward to have a place for you and your two children to be.
Yes, and so it took, and then he said that it's in the letter it says I was under investigation for prostitution by sheriff, you know, by the captain sheriff in Wabash, you know, that was the county that were there. And then I was a drug addict, I was, you know, I was aiding and abating illegal money, and they said that it should be revoked my citizenship, you know. And so I did call the captain, you know, the sheriff, and I asked him, I said, was this really true? And he said, no. I said, the only thing that I heard that was under investigation was your ex-husband, that he was something like a fraud, you know. I said, we don't have a record for you, you know. And you know, for me, God has always a way for you to know things that people are have
doing
a bad, you know, bad things that to do, a bad plan for you. And how I found that is the time we were spending Christmas, like not Christmas, but going to New Year, you know, in my aunt's house. And I told him, I said, let's work this together. You know, I asked him, I said, unless if you're gonna willing to live in that house and, you know, have a life again. And we can always, you know, work this. And then he said, okay. And then what's so crazy how he did, he said that his Christmas present for me is he insured me for $1 million. My life was insured for $1 million.
Lord, and I said, have mercy.
And I said,
he's not working. Where is he getting money to pay insurance policy? He's not working.
Yeah, and I was like, you insured me $1 million, and I remember I told him, I said, if you insured me, if I'm dead right now, I want to make it sure that some of those money goes to my kids and some of the kids in my country, you know?
My God.
And then he said, and I was terribly crying and like, okay. And I was like, you know, crying, and I said, what's going to happen tomorrow again, you know?
Yeah, why
I'm sure I'm going to be survived.
For $1 million, why is that? What was his motive? What, you know, why was he, what was his reason for insuring you for $1 million? Did he ever tell you the reason for that?
No, he said that he said that his Christmas present for me is, you know, insured me for $1 million. And I was like, oh, my God, you know.
That's his Christmas present, not yours.
Yeah, I know, I know. And then, you know, this kind of people, if you show them that you are weak, and the more they're going to manipulate you, but if you show them you're strong and you can do it no matter what they're going to do, and I'm here, you know, and they're getting weaker and you're getting stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you heard, go ahead.
Yeah. So how I found out that letter, when he took me, because I was working in, I moved to Chicago, and, you know, I was working as a caregiver, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, take me to the South Bend so I could take a train. And then he did. And it was like, it was only like 5 miles, you know, before the train station. I kind of looked in the compartment. That's how I found the letter. And instead of really getting, I was crying. And I said, well, I told him, well, thank you very much. I told him. I said, thank you very much, and thank God that I found this letter. And he did not know that I kind of like sneak one copy, because there's 3 copies for that. And he told me, I did not do that. And I said, who did this? If you're not, then who did? And if you said you're not, why it's here in your car, you know? And he said, no, I did not. It was my sister. And I said, I said, you want me to go back with you to be a husband and wife. And I was willing to. And then you try to deport me and revoke my citizenship so that I don't see my kids anymore. Is that what your plan? And I said, you're never going to be successful. So that's what. Yeah. And I, you know, when I was, when I came to Chicago, I was very, when I working in Chicago, I lived there, I was really, you know, I work as a caregiver, and I always crying, you know, I cried a lot, and I miss my kids, but constantly I call them, I send them letters, you know, how much I love them, and that I'm always here, you know, that I don't left them, but these people, they abuse. And they torture my kids' mind, you know, saying that your mother is a drug addict, your mother is a prostitute.
Wow.
And they even, my ex-mother-in-law even said to my son that he was not a Filipino. He was American.
Wow. They were poisoning your children's mind against you.
Those
letters you were sending for your children, do you know whether or not they were getting the letters?
Well,
or were they discarding them?
They will discard. Because sometimes I will, sometimes when time for visit, you know, when I came to Indiana and visit them, sometimes I don't, like, I call the school and I said I want to have lunch with my kid, with my son. And then I make sure I bring cupcakes for all the kids. Yeah, they really love it. And they always said, your mom is so cool. You know, she's like that, you know. And I did. And I told my son, I said, do you receive the letters, the cards? Because every week, sometimes almost every day, I send them a letter. It's like just a smile and things, you know, I call them.
Yeah.
Just
to
remind them that I'm here, you know.
Yes.
That I am not going to leave them. And
and
he said, no, I did not. And I said, did you still have the scrapbook I made, you know, a poem, you know, that being how grateful I am that they are the gift from me, and, you know. And I said, no, I don't see that. So the pictures that I send, because I always put the scrapbook together, like me and my son and all those good things I said, you know, I feel about them, and one scrapbook for my daughter, how I feel about her. And she's a princess, and she's a gift, and she's my angel, you know. And they said, no, we did not. And then sometimes my son said, Mom, are you a prostitute?
Because that's what the grandparents and the daddy has been telling them.
Yeah.
So,
and go ahead, sorry.
All this turmoil is happening. You're not seeing your child. They're keeping you away. So only when you went to school to visit your children, that was your only encounter with the children, because you couldn't go visit them at home, because each time you try to visit them at home, their grandmother would call the cops on you.
Yes.
So when the cops came, what would happen when the police came?
when the police came and I, they said that, well, she doesn't cause any trouble here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, officer, all I want to see is my kids. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just want to say hi to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always, like, give them, you know, every time I see them and they have with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the provisional order that I have is, like, every other weekend I have with
mm-hmm.
them. I spend time with them.
The court order says that every other week you can, because
yeah.
it's joint custody. So every other week, it's your time to visit with your children. And
yes.
that's what the grandmother is trying to deprive you from.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. during that time, you gathered more strength, Janet, than you knew you had.
Yes.
And you are here today, not only sharing your story of overcoming adversity to the reigning queen as the Mrs. Asia USA. For
yes.
those women and also men too, because there are a lot of men who is going through abusive situation with women.
Mm-hmm.
For those people who are listening to you, if you could give them five things that you think that you gathered such great strength from, what would these five things be?
Well, the first one is the faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the second is knowing what you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is, I think, how you gonna choose?
Mm-hmm.
How are you gonna choose, and how are you gonna design your life, and how are you
mm-hmm.
gonna create the life that you want, the result that you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And number four, I think it's the hope that it's, you know, that there's always light after
mm-hmm.
darkness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is, I think, believe in yourself.
Mm.
Believing yourself that you can do everything
mm-hmm.
in a good,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's a good way,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you know in your rights, and you know
mm-hmm.
that you stand for, and your
mm-hmm.
fate, and your
mm-hmm.
choice,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and I think those are the things, and like
mm-hmm.
you don't want to be like pity for yourself, you know.
That's right.
Because,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's
you don't
right.
want to be self pity and saying
mm-hmm.
I can't do it, because
mm-hmm.
there's nothing in this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. Everything
that's
you
right.
can reach in your
that's
hand.
That's right. That's right.
And for me, being from the third world country and coming
mm-hmm.
here as the,
mm-hmm.
the most powerful country and
mm-hmm.
being there for that abusive situation and the hardship,
mm-hmm.
I look back and I smile. It's
mm-hmm.
because of what happened in my past. I
mm-hmm.
live in the past, and I'm embracing
yes.
the greatness of my future.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for that, because this now has segued us into, and, you know, I pray that the listeners, whether they are listening now or they will listen in the archive, you have so eloquently laid out a plan where everybody can follow. And you are just sealing it here, because you know something? When you look on your strong faith and you believe in yourself, there is nothing that you cannot make happen.
Yes.
Because you have the faith in the Almighty God, knowing that He's going to get me out of this.
Yes.
Regardless of what they do, they call the cops on me, they lie on me, everything.
Mm-hmm.
They take out expensive insurance on my head. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know that you serve our Almighty God, who is all-powerful. And
yes.
He could not, that husband, your sister-in-law, your mother-in-law, they could not throw any fiery darts at you, because it was just bounce off, because there was a shield of protection around
yes.
you from
yes.
that car accident. There was a shield of protection around you that nobody
yes.
could move but the Creator.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
that's what brings you here. So just
yes.
to fast forward from where we were to where you are now. You went through that. You divorced the husband, and then you got your children, right?
Yeah, I got my children for almost 3 years in fights, and all those, you know, all those accusations that they call the gosh, I just can't imagine how I survived for this. But I remember they report me that I was child molesting my daughter by using a toothbrush. And oh my God, it was like I could not ever in my life hurting my kids, and you know, that was close. You know, they kind of like
evil people. Woo!
Yes, and then I remember I don't have any lawyers because I could not afford any lawyers anymore.
Right.
Yes.
But you
and
had
I
the
have...
best lawyer. You
what?
Had the best lawyer. You had the Lord on your side.
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. I do. When we have a hearing that they contempt me to court, and it's so funny because I don't even know what contempt of court is. What is this? You know. So I went there and defend myself, and I said, I told to the judge, and I said, what my intention is good for my kids, and for the love of my kids that I have. If you put me in jail, it's just because of the thing that I did not do. But if this will satisfy you, do it, you know.
Oh, my God.
So the judge, you know, did not consent me to court. And I was I said, thank God, you know.
Yeah.
But, hearing. Ooh. I met my husband, you know, my husband now.
Your present husband.
When you were going through that hearing? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one who helped me. He is the gift for me. You know, when we met, he told me, he said that I would not marry you if you're not going to have your children with you, because I know that's going to make you happy, your children.
Wow.
So
wow.
I was like, oh my gosh, you know. So it's so funny how we met, because I told him, I said, you're not going to call me in 1 hour. That's over.
How did you meet him?
We met in Chicago. Yeah, and we spent time together, you know, get to know him. He was very nice guy, you know.
Yeah.
And so when we spent time, and I said, like, well, I was in my mind, like, okay, you're not going to call for an hour. That's it. You're over. After 5 minutes, he called me and said, I miss you. And like, oh, my God.
I think I need to hang out with you so I can find me a husband.
Yeah.
If you don't call, now are you out?
You're out. That's it. The game is over.
You know when a man is a good man, when he loves your children and your parents.
Yes. When I told him, because for me, my principal is like, this is my problem, I can solve this. And I think the principal was not really that right. If somebody's willing to help you and love you and care for you and to honor you and respect you, I think, you know, I mean, you need that help. You know, he loves you. It's not only for one thing, but he wants you to be your wife. So I told him what happened, the history, and he said, that's it. You know, that's it. So we get through the process. We hired lawyers. We end up, you know, a guardian ad litem, and there's psychiatrist, like, you know, order by the court, and then we go through all those processes. It was like 2 years, and from that year that they knew that I was engaged, you know, I was going to get married, and this guy is going to be with me. They've been poisoning my kids' mind, like saying,
wow,
you don't belong, kids don't belong to me, and they should not see me with, you know, all those things. And,
and
I told my son, and I said, you know, I said, because he said, like, I don't want mom. And he said, mom, you should come back to my dad. And I said, I did.
And he didn't want to. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I said, I told him to start a new life, but he did not. And I said, and I told my son, I said, you know, not because your mom, your father, and your mother is divorced, you're nobody. And I said, and I told them, there is a lot of the most powerful men in the world that came from a divorced family. And I said, I told them, I said, look at Bill Clinton, you know. And I said, look at Obama, you know. And both of them, their parents are separate. That doesn't mean that you're a bad kid, you know.
Right, right, right.
And I
parents
like,
parents make their choices. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I always told them, you know, don't be involved with this, because my ex side, they want my kids to be involved with it. They teach them, you know, this is what you're gonna say. Don't respect your mom. You know, she should be, you know, she should be deported. And I told my son one time, I said, do you believe? And I told him, I said, you know what, hon? I told him, I said, nobody, a mother, can forget their kids.
That's right. That's right.
I said,
you know, today I was having that conversation with a friend of mine in New York City, and it's the same thing we were talking about. A child, there's no more greater love that your child can experience than the love from a mother to a child. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our children do. We love them unconditionally, and nothing can ever change that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, they always say, Janet, that times go fast when we are having fun. I'm sure you're not, you'd be surprised to know that we are down to a mere only 38 minutes remaining. And
really?
I know.
Oh.
You see how quickly time goes. Bye. And I know we want to talk about you being the reigning queen. We want to talk about your foundation. So we will definitely have to have you back on this show. So we want to just tie this part up now. Know that you found a wonderful man who is now a father and an amazing husband who supports you. And I just want to congratulate him for stepping up to the plate and being a real man to you and to your children. So let's talk about the competition, Mrs. Asia USA. How did you learn about it? What made you decide you were going to enter? And of course, I got to congratulate you because I've read that you are the first Filipino to win the crown.
Yes, I was. Well, yes, I was.
Congratulations. So tell us,
thank you.
How did it come about? How did you enter and all of that
stuff? It was last year. I think I was around June. And then there's one of the committee, you know, for that Virgilia production. It was in California. And it's, you know, it's a cultural pageant. And, you know, she did ask me, said, you know, do you want to join the Mrs. Asia USA? And I was like, what was it? You know, what are you, a joke? You know? and I said, you know, I'm not qualified for that, you know? And then I thought about it, and I look all those pictures, like, my God, they're so beautiful, you know? And then I talked to my husband, and I said, you know, what do you think about me joining the Mrs. Asia USA? And then, of course, my husband said, yes, do
I need a husband like that.
And then he said, yes, do it. And I said, really? And I said, because, you know, that time I don't have confidence. I mean, my self-confidence was gone after those tragic that I've been through. But, you know, I started gaining it. Yes, and I started like, okay, oh my God, I'm not beautiful enough, I'm not smart enough, but my husband is my strength, you know.
Yeah.
And my kids too. And then like you'll say, you can't do that, you can't. And I did, you know, I did apply, and I was like knowing like, okay, what I'm gonna do, you know, what I'm gonna do with this. And so it wasn't like there was a fashion show, that was in July, and I, you know, I apply and there's like 7 candidates from different countries, and there was in Cambodia, India, Thailand, China, Vietnam, and, you know, Philippines, and some of the other countries, and, like, there have Mongolia, and, you know, all parts, like, 57 countries, and I was like, oh, my God, I was so nervous, but everything I do, and every day, I'm thankful, you know, I was like, God, guide me, you know, I pray in the morning, I'm like, guide me, Lord, for things that I'm going to do today, and things, you know, lead me if I'm, you know, the plan that I want to make, and you know, the life that I want to create with my husband and my kids, and I always want to have a foundation, you know. So, July, I went for the first fashion show, and I was so nervous because my husband, they just stay here. And I said, I don't know if I can do this. And he said, well, you can. Don't stop. You're already there. Don't quit. So they said, you know, quitters never win. I was just like, quitters never win and winners never quit.
Janet, hold on a minute. I think there's somebody who is calling in for the show, but they are calling the wrong number. The number you need to call is 646-915-8166. That's the number you need to call, Winnie. 646-915-8166. So, thank you, Janet. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And so after that, after the fashion show, the competition was August, and I was there for a week, and I was nervous, and my husband, my talent was dancing with my husband with tango, you know, and there's two days competition. The first day was interview and national costume, you know, how you're going to design, how you're going to describe your national costume, and the second day, that was, you know, the whole the quote beauty pageant, and during those 2 days, I was gonna quit. I keep saying I can't take this. I can't do this one, you know. And my husband and my kids say, "Mommy, you're gonna win," you know. And my husband said, "You can't do that, you know.
Nice,
nobody's gonna
nice.
Stop you." And they are my strength there, you know. Do it. And so what I'm thinking is like, you know what? I'm gonna do this. Because if I win, behind those experiences I've done, it leads me now. If I'm going to be the beauty queen, you know. And my mind was like, all right, I'm going to win. That crown is going to be mine, you know. It's going to be mine. I'm going to be the new Mrs. Asia USA.
Right.
And I think during the interview, I was relaxed. In presenting my national costume, I was relaxed. And then during the day for the competition, I was nervous. And I think my husband said, that's natural, you know. I mean, facing for 1,500 people, you know, of course you're going to get nervous. And then I changed my attitude. I changed my attitude, and I said, either I'm going to win or lose. I'm already a winner.
Amen. And that's it. Because they say whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve.
Yes. And I said, I'm going to have fun. My kids and my husband are here. And I'm going to do this so that my country will be proud of me. Not only that, and my family. And no matter what's going to happen, I'm already a winner. Because
I present it.
Yes. And then when that time, when somebody asked me, she was a miss, and she said, you know, they lined the crown and the sash, and somebody asked me, I said, which one is yours? And I said, I'm going to get that. And I point the big crown in the Mrs. Asia USA, and I start laughing. And I said, my God, you know. So for that night, you know, I see my husband, I saw my daughter, I saw my son, and I said, they are my trophy. They are my prizes. So I did it for very proud and positive attitude. When I won, when they called me as the best national costume, and I said, oh, God, thank you for this great, you know, prize and great opportunity for me. And then when they called that night, you know, when they called me, like, the new Mrs. Asia USA was Philippines, I mean, I could not imagine, and I was I was shocked, and I started like, you know, and I said, well, this is going to be a door opening, you know, it's another chapter for my life.
Exactly. And everything you encountered from you set foot on this land prepared you for that crown. Because it's showing what you went through, you are showing others that they can rise up from the rubble.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, unless you decide to lay and wallow in that mud, you can get up, brush yourself off, and rise above all adversities and obstacles. And you are such a living example. I'm hearing a call and I can't see. I don't know. I'm here. Ooh. I don't know. I'm hearing a lot of answer. Ooh. Anyway, are you hearing it?
No.
Okay. So I was saying that you have shown people that you can rise above all adversities and obstacles that you encounter in this life.
Yes.
And okay, I see that. I know. I realize what was happening. I'm trying to get this this caller on the air. So. Caller, good afternoon. Good evening, rather. Your last three digits are 7399. You're on the air. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hello, Dr. Daphne. This is Winnie calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello, Miss Winnie. You had a bit of challenge getting in, but I'm thankful that you're on the air now. Have you been listening to us?
I have been listening. I was actually in transit today, so as I was making my way from one airline to the next, I've been listening in.
All right. Well, we are so thankful that you have took time to be on the air. And what would you like to say to Madam Queen?
I would like to say good evening to our Madam Queen. And I wanted to call in to compliment Janet on her courage and on her energy. She is one of the nicest, most positive people I've ever had the pleasure of working with. And I think she has so much to share, and her humility makes her even more of a joy to be around. And so I just wanted to call in with my own testimony to say that she is a genuine person, and it is always good to hear just the lessons that she's willing to share with everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Winnie, for taking the time to call in and to say that, because, you know, each and every one of us need a pat on the back. And too often, one time too often, people sit back and not say these things. And as you rightfully say, Janet is one of the most courageous women I've ever encountered. And I've been on this planet a long time, because what she has done, no ordinary woman can do this.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
And I just want to commend her. I congratulate and commend you two for being such a strong support in her, keeping her calendar together and everything, to make sure she doesn't miss any appointments and everything during this reign of hers. So, because all of us need a positive and effective assistant, because we can't do it all. So we all need people in our corner, and you yourself is a powerful woman. So we just want to thank you for the work that you have been doing as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think the most exciting thing about collaborating with Janet and working for her is the fact that her vision goes beyond the rain. And
yes.
So I think she's got a much bigger vision. And so even when someone is blessed with winning something like, you know, a pageant and a pageant title, I think it's wonderful that she sees that as just a platform, because her goal is so much larger than that. And so
that's
not actually what defines her character.
That's
just a part of her journey. And so I think that's what makes it so exciting.
There's
not just this 12-month reign with her.
And that's the true beauty of what she wants to do, you know, as her official title is making a difference in the lives of children in the Philippines. You know, she as I said to her earlier on at the top of the show, she's not just beautiful on the outside, she's more beautiful on the inside. And when she mentioned that she has had this passion for children from a child growing up, it spoke volume to me about this journey and this reign that this queen is on, because it's not just for a year. It's going to be for a lifetime for her.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Well, thank you for the opportunity to comment. Thank you. It's been a great show.
Thank you very much,
Winnie.
And you keep doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, she's
okay.
So wonderful. She's so nice, lady. Thank you, Winnie.
You're welcome. Yes. I'll talk with you later.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. As a matter of fact, I want to welcome my friend. My friend wants to talk. I'm going to get her on the air. Sometime this thing has a mind of its own. I'm trying to get you on. Miss 914. Good evening. I think this is my friend from Florida.
It is. This is Patricia.
Hi, Miss Patricia. How are you?
Thanks
for
wonderful.
Taking time out and for calling in. What would you like to say to the queen?
Well, she's definitely a queen. I have been enjoying the program. She is such a strong female. I would love to have an opportunity to meet her. I do love the fact that she has used the adversities that she has went through and has not dwelled in that place, but
has
been able to move outside of it.
That's right.
To become the reigning queen just shows where you can go.
That's right.
If you have enough will, if you want it bad enough, and to be able to say thank you for all that I've been through, because
that's what
really made her what she is today.
That's right.
And for her now to take that and to bring it to children in the Philippines, I think it's wonderful. And we're going to hear, if not from her, but whoever she goes, whoever she spread it to, it's going to go on, and it's going to be moved forward and forward and forward. They expect to hear great things from her.
It really
has been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you.
You know, for calling in. I know you promised that you were going to call in, and I just want Janet to know that she's been on the air since we started. She's been listening. We have another caller, and I want to see whether or not this caller has a question or a remark. Caller, your first three digits are 574. You're on the air. Do you have a question? Would you please state your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Tuna Ferolino from Warsaw, Indiana.
Hello.
Hi, and I just want to congratulate my friend and being a Mrs. Asia, and I'm really proud of her that she's been through the hardship in her life, and it's a big blessing to her what she's been through now.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you, Tanya.
to congratulate your friend. I know she's now my friend as well, and she is having such a magnificent reign, and she's going to be a great impact on those young people in the Philippines, because she's going to prove to them that there are no limits to the things that they can do.
Oh, yes. And I'm really glad that she's there for you. And and thanks, and I'm going to congratulate her again.
All right. Thank you so much for calling
in.
I want to welcome Tom in Texas to the chat room. And Tom, if you have any questions, you want to type it, I will get it. And if you want to call in, the number to call is 646-915-8166. Okay, and Pat, do you have anything else you would like to say?
Can you hear me?
Pat, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, for some reason, you were unable to hear me. No, I really don't. I'm just really have enjoyed tonight, and I said this is a lady that I would love to have the opportunity of meeting. This is someone I would love my children to meet.
That's right. So who knows? You know, once she's in the family, we can arrange anything we want to arrange.
Yes. She's definitely going to be a champion for young people in the Philippines.
Yes.
And that's great. And she has her crown. She had her crown before, but now she has a physical crown.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pat, and we'll be talking later on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Patricia is my friend. She we've been friends for many, many, many years. She's one of my supporters, and she's another amazing woman. She used to do work with the inner city kids and the housing authority and Head Start and all of that. So she is super excited when she hears of someone else who is as passionate about kids as she is. Janet, I want to touch on your foundation in the Philippines. So let's talk about that.
Well,
tell us about what it is.
Well, it is it's a non-profit organization. Its objective is to improve the well-being of the kids, children, in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three things that motivate me why I'm doing this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And number one is because I do believe that children in my country or in the world should not go to bed hungry.
Mm.
And I also believe that the children in the Philippines or some part of the country should have a safe place that they can call home.
Mm-hmm.
And also they should have an access to a good education.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
It can be transforming in the sense that the child could lead a more productive life and then contribute to the future of our country or any country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I am, you know, and I do believe that these children is our future, and we should take care of our future and lead them in the right way.
Yes.
Because, you know, I mean, these children, the street children, you know, they are victims.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very innocent, and they did not even
know
that they are the victim. You know?
Yes.
So for me, being a Mrs. Asia USA, and I'm using my title, and with that title, it opens a lot of doors, and I met a lot of people. You know, actually last month I met the Philippine ambassador of the Philippines, Winika, which I did share it to him. What my intention and why I'm doing this is because to all the leaders of our community, the Filipino community, and any leaders, I think we share the same goal, and we should help together and reach together to help these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's one of the things that why I'm so passionate with the children. You know,
I want to remind our listeners we are down to the last 15 minutes of the show. So if you're thinking of calling in, this is your opportunity. You got to do it now. You got to eat your cake while it is still warm. So call in 646-915-8166. I want to welcome the new guest, 10-522-10537, that just came in, and 7565. I welcome you to the show and to the chat room. So call in, let me hear from you. Call, type your questions in the chat room if you have one. So I'm just so excited about this. So you have the nonprofit in the Philippines, and what are some of the things that you are looking to have done within the next 2 years in regards to your nonprofit?
Well, I want to contribute building a library.
Mm-hmm.
That they can access the books, and you know that they don't have to worry about anything. And I want to build a center,
mm-hmm.
that these children that have been abused, they could be able to have counseling, and you know, a shelter for the children,
mm-hmm.
that are hungry as well,
mm-hmm.
and they can also have an access for a good Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, those are the things that my plan for. For 2 years, and you know, and that's what I am reaching
okay.
this to.
Okay. Someone just called, and you need to turn your volume down on your computer. Caller, your last four digits are 741. You are on the air. You need to lower your computer. Caller, your number is, your last four digits are 2741. You are on the air live.
And I want to build a center that these children
hello.
That
hello. I am
good
evening.
Lower,
I'm
going. Lower your phone.
I'm from Philippines.
Yes, yes.
This is Sister Janet. So
oh,
I would
hello.
Like to I would like to congratulate my sister.
Yes, Janet, that's
thank
your
you.
Sister from the Philippines.
Oh,
yeah.
I miss you guys.
Yes, we can hear the interview of my sister, so that's we are so very proud.
Proud of her, yes. I'm so proud of her. I'm looking to
come
to the Philippines one of these days and meet all of you guys.
Yep. I'm sorry so that I can't very hear that your voice is very noisy here. So I would like to congratulate my sisters. We're so very proud, and my mother and sister here too. We can hear the interview of my sister.
Yeah, I know that, because we are hearing you, because you are on the phone and the others are on the computer, so we can hear it all, and we are excited too. We're not even going to fuss about that, because we know you are on the phone and the others are listening, so we want to thank you for sharing your sister with the rest of the world.
Yeah, and thank you so much.
Okay. All right, Janet. So that's your sister calling from the Philippines. So
yes.
thank you so much.
My mother wants to talk congratulate
yeah.
my sister.
Yes, please put her on the phone.
Okay.
Hi. Hello. Good evening.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very fine. Can I talk my daughter with my language, Bisaya?
Okay, go ahead. She'll have to translate
okay.
and tell me what you said.
Janet, proud ka imi sa imuha. Naghilak ko sa kalipay nga. Naingon anak ka nga layo ka kay giabutan. Daghan kayong salamat sa Ginoo. Nakahilak yung kuning. Salamat kayo og sa mga tao nga nagsuporta sa imuha din ha. Daghan kayong salamat. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
okay.
Mommy.
Take care.
Okay.
Okay.
So what did she say, Janet?
She was said that she wants to tell me how proud she was to me, and right now she was listening and crying, you know, that all the people are supporting me. So that's
wonderful. 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 What a blessing. What a blessing. I can hear the excitement, Janet. I think they're having a party in the background to listen to the show.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes, my mother crying because she's so very happy.
Yes, yes.
Very happy to congratulate my sister.
Yes,
being a, Mrs. Asia, USA.
And you just let her know she has raised a wonderful woman. And I am so honored. I'm honored for this opportunity to have her daughter on my radio show.
Thank you.
So, yes. So thank you. And I hope that you all come back and listen to the show, not only when Janet is on, but on a regular time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you very much, too.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Say bye, Janet.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, are you crying now, too?
I am crying. I think I'm so proud, and I'm very happy for my family and my best friend, Chona, and Winnie, and, you know, all the people are listening, and I want to inspire them that if I can do this, they can do it, too.
Yes.
There's
no
impossible in this world that you can't reach. Everything in this
possible.
Universe, everything in this universe you can reach as you believe in yourself, as you have faith in God.
Yes.
Everything you do, you should have, you always be grateful. And like the first time I listened to your night type, I said, I'm grateful that every blessings are coming to me.
Yes.
And every day I thank for that. Every morning.
Yes.
Because
Janet, we are down to 8 minutes. And we could still go on for the rest of the night. But time does not allow for us to do that. And I just pray that you will come back and visit us and let us know what you're doing. But for those people who are encountering abuse of any sort right now, what do you want to tell them, Janet?
Well, what I'm going to tell them is do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid to stand for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Come out for that shelter. Think about positive things, that everything in this world is reachable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be living in the life or a person that's abusing you, because what they've been doing, they're going to manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to think that there's no hope for you. There is a hope for us. There is a hope for you. You're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. If I can do this, you can do it too. And everybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want these people allow you to abuse you. It's because God is providing us a life. In that life, we want to create a happy life, a positive life.
Yes.
And if we want to contribute to ourselves, to our community, and to our family. Because that's what God wants us.
Mm-hmm.
And for what I've been through, if I did that, that I went through with that, and I succeed for that, and you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are very abusive,
Does your husband want to say anything?
I think he is, he's here, but I'm not sure.
Ask him if he wants to say anything.
I'm going to, before I end up for that, I also been asked as a spokesperson for women who are victims of violence.
Yes.
And, you know, and I am here, you know, I'm here to listen, and I'm really here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and those So my husband wants to say something here.
I figure he would.
His
Please put
Richard,
him on.
Yes.
Put him on the phone.
Hey, Daphne. I was
Hello.
In the other room.
How are you?
I'm great. This is a fantastic show, and I was just listening to it in the other room, and just really a pleasure to watch my wife unfold and flower and become the person that she's becoming. And every day I just rejoice in being with her, and I tell her, and sometimes she thinks it's in a joking way that with her every day's a holiday and every meal's a feast. And
that is so powerful.
In a lot of ways, it's very true for me. It's life has been wonderful, and I've participated in a lot of these events, not to the extent that she has, but she was telling me the story about her fear at La Mirada, and by the time we got out there to do the tango, she was the one who was kind of reassuring me not to worry or to be nervous in front of all those people. But, the tango was about her, and she did fabulous. But,
Well, I just want to congratulate you for being a magnificent, supportive husband and father. And I do pray that I get the opportunity to meet you personally one of these days. I want to thank you for sharing your beautiful wife with the rest of the world.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I do look forward to meeting you someday. And I'm sure I will. Janet is keeping us very busy and very active with the things that she's up to. And there are good things and worth supporting.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you so very much, and keep supporting your beautiful wife.
I will, Daphne. Thank you, and here she is.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Janet,
Hello, yes.
Well, we are down to 3 minutes.
Wow.
So I'm giving you 1 minute to say a closing remarks, and the other 2 minutes is just to play my closing music. So say something for a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to thank you for, this opportunity, to give me a chance to inspire the other women, not only women, but other men too as well, that everything in this world, like I always said, it's reachable.
Yes.
And, you don't want to live in a life of miserable.
That's right.
You should be happy. You should, we are entitled to be happy.
Exactly.
And we should not have anybody will take that happiness, take
away
it away from
us. That's right. That's
and,
right.
And stand for yourself, believe in for what you want, and make a choice, choice that you want to do and what you want, what do you want for your life? And I think you have to sit down and think, what do I really want to do in my life?
That's
and if
right,
you
that's
have
right.
a choice and you choose for that, live for that choices.
Yes,
and
yes.
That will
yes.
set you free.
Amen, amen. Well, Mrs. Asia USA, congratulations. We had an amazing show, and I wish you a successful, prosperous reign. And I will speak with you soon. I want every one of my listeners to remember that you were created for a destiny, and do not allow anyone to derail you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so
You're
much.
Very welcome.
What's the plight that you've called me to? the thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Find our number, 203-300 something or another. Hold on.